Hi, everyone. My name is Jonathan, and welcome to another episode of Ventiv Connected Voices. In today's Hotspot 10 episode, we bring back Jim Hodge, who is one of the industry's best when it comes to CBRS. This will be part two of our CBRS series. We went through and collected a series of questions that people had about CBRS, and I'm really excited for this episode, Jim. I really am. So thanks again for coming on and answering some of these questions that, you know, our sales team and others in the industry have. Yeah, of course, Jim. So, you know, going into it, leading into the first question, you know, what are some use cases where CBRS represents the better choice, especially when compared to other wireless technologies like Wi-Fi?
I'd like to make a clarification first. In our industry, we use some terms interchangeably because we understand the context. But to be clear for anyone that's new to this conversation, when discussing CBRS, it's important to distinguish the spectrum from the technology that supports the spectrum. CBRS itself is not a technology. It's a spectrum. So asking if CBRS is better than Wi-Fi, for instance, is asking if shared 3.6 gigahertz is better than unlicensed 2.4 or 5 and 6 gigahertz. The reality is that CBRS spectrum can be used for 4G and or 5G and for mobility, backhaul, or any radio that is approved to broadcast in the CBRS spectrum. So the general spirit of the question that you're asking is, when would a private LTE network based on CBRS spectrum be a better choice when compared to Wi-Fi? And also, this is a good time to point out that Wi-Fi and CBRS networks should not be seen as competing architectures. They really are complementary. So back to your question, the shorter answer is, when the total cost of ownership justifies mobility, improved security, and or higher quality of service, CBRS is a better choice than Wi-Fi. Private LTE on CBRS has additional benefits surrounding coverage efficiencies and throughput, but those conversations involve a deeper look into specifics around facility size and geographic location, as Wi-Fi is typically better for smaller facilities and indoor compared to larger facilities and outdoor deployments. So Wi-Fi's main advantage is that it's very low cost and it's easy to maintain with a massive ecosystem of devices that are Wi-Fi capable. So if you need a private network that doesn't require mobility, Wi-Fi is a great solution. If you need mobility or improved security or higher quality of service or any combination, then private LTE, which is made more accessible thanks to the CBRS spectrum, is now an option. The next step is to look at the total cost of ownership. And also, I think it's good to mention that CBRS has interoperability potential with other operators that can also be attractive to a private network.
Leading up to the next part here is, you know, one of the questions is what are the major differences between deploying a CBRS and a Wi-Fi network? For instance, infrastructure, you know, upfront costs, maintenance costs, management tools, etc.
Well, we can split the conversation into general CapEx and OpEx buckets. Generally speaking, Wi-Fi has comparatively inexpensive upfront CapEx costs and very little ongoing OpEx costs. So access points and routers, they're less expensive. They're inexpensive. They're less complicated to design. They're easier to install and maintain than deploying a private LTE system. Again, broadly speaking, Wi-Fi is well understood by most IT departments. So the tools and the knowledge base to support Wi-Fi networks is much more robust. You have a higher chance of finding an LTE engineer that also understands Wi-Fi than an IT Wi-Fi tech that understands LTE. So 4G LTE networks require more expensive radios. They have core, they have network management tools. And when you add CBRS frequency requirements to a private LTE network, the design also includes SAS connectivity, adding another layer of cost and complexity. Making it a 5G network on CBRS simply just increases that cost. Main support for an LTE network is usually a percentage of the hardware costs. And on top of that, the OPEX differences, a professional LTE engineer, either on staff or through a managed services contract, needs to ensure the private LTE network is optimized and performing efficiently. And the engineer also needs to be available for troubleshooting and maintenance to include software loads containing the 3GPP updates. So again, the short answer is Wi-Fi is generally a lower total cost of ownership in both CapEx and OPEX. But the real question is, are there any use cases where you need mobility, improved security, higher quality, and do those requirements justify any additional cost? And again, factoring in the size of the facility or the area you're trying to cover.
So has the end devices marketplace started to fully adopt and support CBRS? And if not, when do we expect them to?
Well, it's a great question. And it's one of the main ones I've heard from any users considering a private LTE network based on CBRS. The CBRS spectrum, it's a multi-billion dollar section of the telecom industry. And aside from the value of the spectrum itself, operators, manufacturers, system integrators, value-added resellers, subscribers, anybody that touches these wireless networks, they all recognize that CBRS presents new opportunities to either make money, save money, or both. That being said, chip providers have silicon that supports CBRS, and device manufacturers are incorporating CBRS in more devices every year. So by fully adopt and support, you mean do they recognize the value CBRS brings to the wireless industry? Well, the answer is yes. They recognize that value. But if you by fully adopt and support, do you mean have they started to include CBRS in end devices at the same level as Wi-Fi capable devices? Well, then no, we're not there. And it's going to be years before CBRS permeates the device market at that level. However, considering how long Wi-Fi has been around compared to CBRS, I believe we're seeing the wireless industry enthusiastically embrace CBRS. And like anything else, the more CBRS deployments we will see will continue to encourage device marketplace to incorporate CBRS in more devices and lower the cost per device, the devices as a result.
So, you know, again, all this about CBRS, right? But the real question is who's a good candidate? Who's the one that are looking for this, right? So industries, radios, nodes are all agnostic?
Absolutely. So as we discussed, CBRS is the spectrum. So it's agnostic to technology, manufacturer, and operator. A good candidate for CBRS is anyone that needs mobility, security, and high quality of service, especially if they're in large facilities or outdoors or need high throughput. All industry verticals have at least a few use cases that can be applied to CBRS. It's just a matter if the actual enterprise location requires the use cases for that specific requirement. As we discussed in our last episode, public safety, manufacturing, education, utilities, mining, or anyone with wireless network wireless networking needs can benefit from CBRS. Any industry vertical that either has a private network or is thinking about a private network should understand the technology options available and determine if a private Wi-Fi network will satisfy the requirements or if CBRS is worth the investment for the additional features and functionality. This also applies to determining if 4G is better for the network than 5G, if standalone versus non-standalone, or GNode Bs versus distributed architecture, and all these different types of technology flavors. It can be complicated, but asking the right questions makes the requirements clear and subsequently makes design much easier when you have all the pieces that you know you need for your network and all the tools that can satisfy those requirements.
I'm going to say this. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I learned a lot today, Jim. I you can find more information by contacting sales at ventiv.com or going to our website at ventivinfra.com. Jim, I want to thank you again, man. You've been an awesome guest. A lot of people, like I said, were excited about this part too. And I think you addressed a lot of questions that a lot of us had. So I want to thank you again for coming on, and I cannot wait until we get you back on again.
Always a pleasure. I'm more than happy to always talk with you, Jonathan.
All right. Thanks, Jim.